Hi, I'm Dr. Kirsten Lauritsen. I'm a personal functional medicine practitioner for high performers and professional athletes. And I've worked with athletes in many different sports, from the U.S. sailing team to endurance sports and triathlon, CrossFit, and professional tennis players across the board in any sport. Maintaining a foundation of a healthy body and mind is crucial for long-term success. This is the podcast that will show you how to apply the principles of a healthy body and mindset to achieve high performance, all from the inside out. This is the Fit and Healthy Athlete Podcast. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Fit and Healthy Athlete Podcast and show. I'm your host, Dr. Kirsten Lauritsen, and today we are doing the final episode of our fueling and hydration series. And if you haven't checked out the full series, definitely make sure to go back, because we talk about all sorts of things, including fueling and things that a lot of athletes sometimes tend to miss, or you might be missing a couple of pieces. And so hopefully this series will help to fill in some of those gaps. And then today we are just wrapping up on hydration. So especially around hydration, last time what we talked about was where muscle cramping and dehydration often seem to go together. And there actually have been several studies that have started that have looked at whether muscle cramping in, especially like endurance races and all those things, really has to something to do with electrolyte imbalance and hydration issues. And what they found is maybe that's not the case. So if you didn't see that episode, I do highly recommend going and checking that out. And today, what we're going to talk about are some common mistakes that athletes tend to make with their hydration, and also how they can affect their hydration and staying hydrated throughout a race, which leads to better performance and less fatigue, and also managing your heat better as well throughout the race, but also how fueling can contribute to that too, and sometimes do the opposite of what you want. So let's dive in. So one of the mistakes that athletes can make around hydration is drinking sports drinks outside of training. One of the reasons that this can be an issue is because they do have a tendency to be pretty high in carbohydrates, because this is in part how your body is going to absorb that salt and that sugar. However, in many cases, these particular beverages used to be at a certain sodium and sugar percentage or level, and now they are much higher than that, which does not work very well for absorption and actual utilization of that hydration. It can sometimes not do what we're intending for it to do, because the solution is so much higher than the original recipe. In addition, a lot of these sports drinks too have a lot of food dyes and colorings and all sorts of things that actually are things that we want to be avoiding. And lastly, with that too, when athletes are really looking at their performance, they are also most of the time periodizing their carbohydrates, meaning that they are making sure that when they are eating carbohydrates, it's somewhat timed out throughout the day. So if you're just drinking a bunch of sports drinks and things outside of training, then we may have some imbalances there, and that may also be somewhat leading to some issues with performance too. Another mistake that athletes tend to make is they drink a lot of plain water. Plain water is fine, but if you are not balancing that out with sodium, potassium, magnesium, and your other electrolytes, you can have a tendency to flush a lot of your electrolytes out, even if you are heavily salting your food. This is especially important for a lot of those challenges that are out there that are requiring about a gallon of water a day. That puts you in definitely a scenario where you may notice that you're feeling like the water's just going right through you. This has a lot to do with how your body is being able to absorb that water, and also then how your body is being able to utilize it And a lot of that has to do with electrolytes and a little bit with sugar too. So one of the things I do with my athletes is I have them do a functional hydration, which is using a little bit of salt and a little bit of sugar in 16 ounces of water. And that just helps to, in every single 16 ounces of that gallon of water that they drink, they're doing a little bit of that. And then if they are going into training, then we will bump that up and we'll have them do some sort of electrolyte drink to help support that on the other side. This can sometimes be really, really high sodium, and sometimes it can be on the lower sodium side. It sort of just depends on the tolerance of the patient and or of the athlete, and also what they what really works well for them too. You know, some people are just heavier sweaters, and they also go through a lot of sodium and salt and things like that, whereas other people don't. Another mistake that athletes also can make, and this is going to be our last one, is some athletes really love to do gels, to take gels, and they also really love to do like liquid fueling products. So this is where you're putting a lot of calories and carbohydrates into a water bottle and you're drinking it down. So one of the concerns with that, this is going to work for some people and then it may not work for others. And this is really where testing a lot of these long runs and then in long, any of your long sessions, testing really comes in handy, because then you can start to see any patterns where potentially fueling, hydration, patterns, strategies, protocols, all of those things can show you what is actually happening in your body. There are some tools like NYX that I really like that help to, they're just like biosensors. And I have some athletes that are working with that right now, and they really like the feedback. So, and then there's also some other ways that you can do that too with urine strips and testing specific specific gravity and all of those things. So one of the reasons why, though, that putting fueling products into your water bottle can be tricky is because it can potentially dump a lot of carbohydrate into your gut. And one of the things that happens when you have a high amount of carbohydrate and not enough liquid coming into the gut with that carbohydrate, this can end up leading to your stomach slowing down its emptying, meaning that sphincter that's supposed to allow all the things in your stomach to drop down into the small intestine just slows that whole process down. So things will sit in the stomach for a little bit longer. Not only can this cause a lot of cramping and problems GI distress wise, but also it can start to impact how you're absorbing that fueling as well. And then the same thing happens also when it starts to get into the small intestine. Too much carbohydrate can start to pull water into the GI tract. And this also can tend to happen with maltodextrin as well. It's a very, very common sugar that is utilized for fueling products, especially for endurance athletes, but also does have a tendency to increase inflammation and gut symptoms. So these are some things to start thinking about, especially when we are looking at optimizing hydration, and we want to make sure that we are getting all of those things dialed in so that we can have our best races, right? And we can get the most out of our training sessions. The last tip on that follows up on the previous one, and that is that when we are using liquid hydration, we do want to still make sure that we are mitigating for any effects that this can have on the GI tract. And one of the ways that we can do that is by periodically consuming a bit of whole food. This will help to keep some of the blood closer to the GI tract so that we have less of a hypoxic environment that can lead to some leaky gut and intestinal permeability and really have an impact on the end of your race, your energy, fatigue, any aches, pains, things like that. There's actually a lot that can go into this and a lot of symptoms that athletes can have that are actually a result of something going on in the gut. So this is another reason why we want to be a little bit careful of what we choose and just be very specific and intentional about the types of products and strategies and protocols that we follow, because they can have a pretty significant impact on what's going on inside. And especially if it's going to be pulling water from our muscles and from our circulatory system that is helping to cool us down, and it's drawing all of that into the gut, that can lead to GI distress, and it can lead to a lot of other problems, including you feeling more and more dehydrated the closer you get to the end of that race. So I hope that this was helpful. If you have any questions, feel free to ask them below and come find me on social media. I love to chat with you. Take care, and I will see you for the next episode. Take care.
Hey, did you know that up to 70% of athletes may be deficient in at least one micronutrient, if not potentially deficient in two or more? Micronutrient deficiencies like vitamin D, iron, calcium, vitamin E, B12, B9 are super common in athletes, and they can lead to things like fatigue. They can lead to injuries and fractures, getting sick a lot and missing practice, to unexplained pain, and a lot more. On the flip side though, athletes who corrected nutrient deficiencies saw improvements in VO2 max, vertical jump, grip strength, force, improved delayed onset muscle soreness, and a lot more. That's why I created the Strong to the Finish Line free guide for athletes like you to be able to train and compete symptom-free so that you can have the confidence and the power to perform at your best. Get this guide for free at drkirsten.com/finishstrong.